Blog Talk Radio.
You were the first in this family to get into college.
I'm so proud of you.
I can't go, can I? I just can't afford to send you.
I didn't mean to let you down.
I understand. Maybe next year. Maybe. Hard-working students deserve a chance. Please, support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour, that's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111. You're now tuned into WBNN, News Forum with Chinchilla Jonesia, broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, March 20th, 2022. Tonight on News Forum, it is part two of major corruption in the Deep South. Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, and South Carolina will be included in this week's Deep South wrongful convictions, injustices, and major corruption. From falsifying of evidence to fabrication of witnesses, extreme racism, and even modern-day lynchings. Oh, and did I mention crimes that never even happened? We will examine the Deep South tonight on News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. A Pennsylvania trial court has granted a new trial to death row prisoner Kevin Dowling, finding that prosecutors withheld evidence that would have shown he was 40 miles away when their sole eyewitness claimed to have seen him near the murder scene. In a ruling issued on February 22, 2022, Lebanon County Senior Judge Robert J. Ebby, sitting by designation in Dowling's York County case, also found that prosecutors failed to correct the testimony of a state trooper who fabricated a timeline that supported the eyewitness's erroneous identification. Dowling's trial counsel, Ebby found, also was ineffective in failing to request evidence in the possession of the prosecution that would have demonstrated that the prosecution's timeline was inaccurate and that its eyewitness testimony was mistaken. Ebby wrote, "This court has thoroughly and extensively considered whether the Commonwealth participated in the suppression of exculpatory evidence prior to petitioner's trial in October and November of 1998, as well as whether the Commonwealth failed to correct testimony, which it knew or should have known to be materially false. On both of these issues, we concluded that it has. Dowling was convicted and sentenced to death for the 1997 murder of Jennifer Myers at Gray Fox Gallery in Spring Forge Plaza in Spring Grove, Pennsylvania. She was killed at about 1 p.m. on October 20th, 1997, and no physical evidence linked Dowling to the murder. Judge Ebbe found that defense counsel Jerry Lord had failed to obtain readily available exculpatory evidence that would have provided objective proof that whomever the prosecution's star witness saw outside Kenny's Market was not Dowling. Further, Ebbe found defense counsel would have been able to expose Trooper Mowry's testimony as baseless and patently false. Judge Ebbe wrote, "This court has thoroughly considered whether trial counsel provided effective assistance of counsel to the petitioner during his trial. We conclude that he did not." Judge Ebbe also wrote, "Judge Ebbe said because Eller's identification of Dowling was central to the prosecution's case, prosecutors knew or should have known that Eller's identification of Dowling had to be mistaken. Nevertheless, at trial, the Commonwealth relied upon the incompetent, unscientific, and undocumented investigation of Trooper Mowry in an attempt to bolster Eller's testimony and convince the jury that her receipt was inaccurate." Overturning Dowling's conviction, Judge Ebbe wrote that if the prosecution had disclosed the register receipts or if counsel had requested them, it is clear there's a reasonable probability that the outcome of the trial would have been different. Pennsylvania Attorney General's Office, which handled the post-conviction proceedings in the case, issued a statement saying, "We respectfully disagree with the conclusion reached by the court and plan to appeal." Dowling has been on Pennsylvania's death row more than 23 years. Now to Ashley Dwyer in Fort Lauderdale.
13-year-old Stanley Davis was filling up his dirt bike at a gas pump. When he leaves, he's followed by an officer identified as Mark Stone.
He was chased to his death and taken away from not only myself, but the family and the community.
Boynton Beach Police Officer Mark Stone has been involved in 3 high-speed deadly pursuits, all of which, according to attorneys, were deemed unlawful. Now, the victims of those chases, a 38-year-old man, a 5-year-old little boy, and most recently a 13-year-old teenager, were all African American.
Had he been terminated with a prior incident, my son would still be here with us.
In Boynton Beach, an officer is only allowed to engage in a high-speed chase if the person thereafter has committed a felony crime like murder or armed robbery. Attorneys working this case say Officer Stone has an extensive list of unlawful behavior.
This is one of the worst files that I've ever seen on an officer.
Attorneys say they'll be holding city officials accountable as well for looking the other way.
Thank you, Ashley. Shannon Thompson says nothing can bring back her son, but she will fight for change in his name. Chinchilla Jonesia reporting. WBNN News Forum. Are you fed up with the many criminal injustices that we face each and every day here in the United States of America? Do you have a loved one who is wrongfully incarcerated? Were you a victim of wrongful incarceration? Were you a victim of juvenile life without parole? Do you have a juvenile lifer right now behind bars? Were you or someone you love a victim of over-sentencing? What about your voting rights? How about all the gun violence in America? Racism, police corruption, prosecutorial misconduct, judicial biases, planting and withholding of evidence, misidentification of witnesses. Well, whatever the injustice is, we invite you to join the movement. Be a voice. Criminal Justice Reborn and Right the Wrong Coalition. Righting the wrongs and rebirthing this criminal injustice system one city at a time. Become a member today by joining the Facebook group, Right the Wrong Coalition. Advocate, speak out, speak up, and stand up for justice. For more information on Be a Voice Criminal Justice Reborn and Right the Wrong Coalition, you may contact Right the Wrong Coalition by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888, and extension 111 for Be a Voice. If you appreciate and like the work that Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition is doing across this country, we invite you to support the advocacy work to continue podcasting platforms, video cast, cable, TV, more radio, and investigative work exposing the criminal injustices in America. Please contact investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia at 267-557-7517. Again, that number is 267-551-7517. Stand up, be a voice, and join the movement today. Newsform is a syndicated radio program with over 13.7 million listeners worldwide. Newsform is brought to you by WBNN and Ngozi Time Multimedia. Newsform broadcasts live every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on these WBNN stations. Investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor of Newsform. To reach Chinchilla J after the show, you may contact her Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Chinchilla Jonesia on Facebook, Chinchilla Jonesia. Like and follow Mike, M-I-C, Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV, Facebook page. Also like and follow Chinchilla on Instagram at Princess Chinchilla. Chinchilla is with one L. We also invite you to join the Right the Wrong Coalition group on Facebook. We would like to take a moment to wish Caroline Turner a safe and happy trip to Minnesota to visit her grandson, who was just born. So Caroline will not be with us tonight or next Sunday night. She will be spending time with her newly born grandchild and visiting with her daughter. Congratulations, Caroline. We miss you, we love you, and we pray for safe travels. And now, we invite you too. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we take you to the live scheduled broadcast, Corruption and Injustices in the Deep South. And now, here she is, host, anchor, and investigative reporter, Chinchilla J.
Hey, everybody. Good evening. It is Chinchilla, and welcome to another segment of our show. And tonight, our show is Major Corruption in the Deep South. And it's part two tonight of last week's segment. Last week was just so, like, awing and mind-blowing things of corruption and injustices that are taking place in the South. And all of that stuff was, like, really crazy last week. Things that no one really knew that was going on. But throughout this country, there's all types of injustices, and we talk about wrongful convictions all the time. But last week we heard other issues other than just wrongful convictions. And tonight will be the same. We're going to hear about some wrongful convictions. We're going to hear about some other types of injustices that will literally blow your mind. And again, we want to congratulate Caroline Turner on the birth of her grandchild, her grandson, and we definitely wish her a good time while she's visiting with her daughter and safe travels back. And before I forget, I also want to mention Karen Brookins, who has been a guest on News Forum for, wow, I don't even know how many times she has been a guest and has called in to comment on other shows with other guests that we've had on News Forum. But her husband is Don Brookins, who's been wrongfully incarcerated now for 31 years. And, you know, my heart goes out to Karen because she lost her son, two nights ago. And while my heart just aches so bad for her, so we definitely want to send our deepest condolences to her, all of the WBN family and News Forum. Our heart goes out to you, Karen, and if there's anything we can do, just please don't hesitate to let us know. Wow. All right. And also, let me get this out of the way, too. On March 28th is the New York rally up in New York and Queens, New York. 10 a.m. And if you want more information about that, you can message me, inbox me on Facebook or call the numbers that you heard earlier. Also, this week, starting tomorrow, the Black Effect event, which will begin tomorrow through the 25th. And on the 25th, I will be speaking that day. And it's going to be awesome. All five nights is going to be really awesome. So you can all check out the Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page for more information on that. All right, and one last thing before we get into our conversations tonight. Want to thank Magic Man Huru LLC for being a Be A Voice sponsor. And those of you that have businesses and would like to be a Voice or Right the Wrong Coalition sponsor, just call the office at 844-642-8378, extension 88. All right. Now, tonight we are going to be speaking with different people in the Deep South. We're going to be talking with Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, and some other Deep South states. And, you know, in the opening with what goes on in Florida with the young man, the teenager that was killed right in his four-wheeler by a police officer that caused him to crash. And nothing's going on with that police officer. You know, it's just so frustrating to me that things like this happen. Last week we heard the story of Amaya Braxton run over in her driveway after getting off her school bus. by a white woman, and Amaya was killed. But yet this white woman is still roaming the streets, and nothing has happened. It's like she's untouchable. At least she thinks she's it. She's untouchable. But everyone that thinks, let me tell you something tonight. I don't care how untouchable you think you are, but God can always reach out and touch. So just bear that in mind. So we definitely want to see justice in Amaya's case, you know, because it's just ridiculous. That woman needs to be under the jail cell, and she walks around bragging and boasting because no charges have been brought against her. And, you know, so this is another case of spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's also very frustrating. All right, so now we're going to be speaking tonight with a young man who is actually in prison right now. He is in Louisiana, and I'm sorry, not Louisiana. Louisiana was Willard. This young man is in a Georgia state prison, and his case, very, very sad case, and so much corruption. Those of you that listen to News Forum each week, you know we always talk about Georgia. Georgia, we have so many people we advocate for in Georgia. So tonight we're going to be speaking with Clinton Davis, and his case is just so crazy, so, so very crazy. And with Clinton, Clinton is an Army veteran, for heaven's sakes, okay? And he's about, I guess, maybe the fifth Army veteran that we've had on the show who's wrongfully incarcerated. And, you know, this is another sad situation that we really have to pay attention to because, you know, Army veterans being locked up for crimes that they didn't commit, and, you know, it's very sad. And it reminds me of the case of Eric Hayes down in Arizona, who was a disabled Army veteran, still sitting in prison for a crime that he did not commit. And, you know, my heart goes out to all of the Army veterans, especially disabled vets that are out here that have served the country, and yet this country has forgotten and turned their backs on them. So, you know, it is such a sad situation, very sad situation. But we're going to speak to Clinton tonight and hear his story briefly as he shares with us what happened in this case. And let's bring Clinton on now. Clinton, how are you this evening? And welcome to News Forum.
I'm okay, Cynthia. Thank you for asking. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Again, thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And Clinton, first of all, tell everyone how long you served in the services.
Well, I served from June of 2004, 2 weeks after high school graduation, until October of 2012, two tours to Iraq.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. And now with your case right now, how long have you been in prison?
I've been in prison. I went to trial in 2018. However, I was locked up November of 2015. So I sat in the county jail for about 31 months before I was actually even had trial.
Wow. Okay. And now tell everyone what you were convicted of wrongfully and what was your sentencing?
Well, I was convicted of the November 7th murder of my six-month pregnant baby mom. Her name was Shaniqua Bethany. She was shot and killed in her home while she laid in the bed with not just my son, but also her one-year-old son. They were both, the two-year-old and the one-year-old were both shot. I raised both of them. Like, I was there when both of them took their first
steps. I said them. I closed them, even though I only made one of them. All of them thought they were my dad. Thought that I was dad. So that was like our family. You know, we were not together in a relationship. However, we made a great co-parenting team. And we remained friends. So, but she was killed November 7th of 2015, shot to death around 2 o'clock in the morning. I lived over an hour and a half away in St. Mary's, Georgia. I knew nothing about her death until I was already in custody for it. I gave the detectives my alibi. I was at home. Even I lived in my apartment in St. Mary's alone. When I was up playing my PlayStation console, I told them you could check the PlayStation. I hadn't left all day. They went to my apartment, took pictures of the PlayStation, and never even collected it to be analyzed. They left it in the apartment to be thrown away. And this is my alibi evidence. We had a digital forensic analyst testify at trial and let them know that everything that I told them could have been verified as to what game I was playing, what board I was playing, settings on the game, things of that nature. All of this was verifiable had they collected the console, and they didn't. Actually, the warrant that they used for my arrest, everything that they used in this case against me was fabricated just based off of one simple statement of a family member because I'm a straight shooter. I say what I mean and I mean what I say. You know, I don't hold any punches. And if I tell you I don't like something, it just is what it is. And a lot of people just can't respect the truth. So her family and I didn't get along, but there's still no reason. I was a great dad and I was a great uncle and I was a great friend. I was great. I mean, I paid their bills even though I stayed in my own apartment and had my own home. I paid their bills, helped them get their water bills turned on. Their children, even though they weren't mine, all types of things. It actually still is a very sad case because my children lost their mother that night to violence, to gunshots. She was killed. They also lost their father to law enforcement corruption. It's so unnecessary. Chinchilla? Hello?
Did the detectives ever look for any other perpetrators or anything? Any suspects?
No, they didn't.
Any other people of interest?
No, actually, they did not. In fact, she was out on a date that night with somebody else, and she returned home about an hour or so before she was killed. They interviewed the lead detective, Teresa Grant, interviewed this guy. And she opens her interview with, "I know you did not kill her. We're just trying to figure out what happened. We're trying to figure out a timeline for her last event. But we know that it wasn't you. We have the guy who did it. And he was the last one to see her alive."
Wow. That is crazy. That's really crazy. Very crazy.
It was reported to law enforcement that she was arguing on the phone that day with somebody. And I have my phone records that show her and I did not even speak on the phone that day. The only means of communication we had that day were via via Facebook messages, which I have copies of, and there is no arguing or anything. So whoever she was arguing with possibly did kill her. They didn't even pull her phone records to find out who she spoke with to argue with that day. They don't even have her phone records to this day. We still don't have her phone records. And I just find that ironic that they locked me up for it, and I'm the one person she did not speak to. And I actually can prove that because, again, my phone records show that we never even spoke that day on the phone. In the Facebook messages, there is no arguing. There was no reason to argue. We made a great co-parenting team, but we were not in a relationship. So it is a lot of things that they negated. They just looked past my alibi information. I gave them other avenues of investigation, and they literally just told me, "Well, we don't believe you." and they had no reason why. They changed the theory of their story so many times because they kept getting proven wrong for the things that they kept saying that I was doing. They couldn't prove any of the things that they're claiming that I was doing, but I could prove that I was not doing those things. So the theory of the crime changed so many times that even to this day, there is no motive. They still don't have a motive because they can't say I did it because I was jealous, because in the Facebook messages it shows where we said, listen, we're not in a relationship. I don't care what you do with other people. Babe. You know, that's your body. I don't care what you do with your body. Just if you're going to do what you want to do with it, just let me know so you and I can stop doing whatever it is that we're doing. Other than that, the kids are our main objective. So they couldn't say that I was a jealous boyfriend now, so now that's gone out of the window. So what did they use? Now they don't know what to use because there is no reason for me to have done this, and I would never have done this. I was a single parent with my son. He actually lived with me up in Cleveland, Ohio, where I'm originally from. He lived with me. Like, that is one thing that I would always treasure from her, because being a dad is my number one, like, that is my biggest accomplishment in my life. And I've done a few things. I've done some things. I've seen some things. I've been some places. But my biggest accomplishment in life is being a dad. And they took that from me, even if she wouldn't. And that is something that I always love her for, always cherish her for.
Wow. My heart really goes out to you, Clinton, and especially to your children who now have lost a mom and a dad because you're wrongfully behind bars. And Georgia definitely needs to right this wrong. They definitely need to go after some other people and definitely get her phone records. And, you know, it's just so much that they need to do in your case. You know, it's just a great, grave injustice for them not to pursue other people. It's just ridiculous to me. They're so very wrong.
And the craziest thing is there are other valid suspects with motive, opportunity, things of this nature that they did not even question ever, ever verified an alibi, never even attempted to say that they may have done it or anything. I have been incarcerated since the day she was killed, and from the county jail to the prison, I have done extensive work on my own, not only learning the laws, but investigating these other avenues that I gave, and there are viable suspects that they never even questioned. I mean, people with wives and girlfriends and other children and threats of possibly losing their employment. I mean, things of this nature had they just looked. I don't know why. I cannot give a reason why, but all I can deal with is facts that I have now. There are several Brady violations, and I'm sure you're familiar with Brady. Brady is bedrock legal. That is foundational law. And Brady violations are violations of information or evidence that is favorable to me or to a defendant. And they withheld all of this. They withheld so much of it. And things that were never turned into evidence from the lead detective that sat on her desk, even the whole 31 months, were never placed into evidence, so my attorneys would never have been able to see this information prior to trial. And the judge just let it all slide.
Yeah, that is just very terrible. Clinton, thank you so much for calling in tonight and sharing this with us, and we will definitely be revisiting your case again in the near future, and also the podcast that we'll be setting up with your attorney. Thank you so much, and we're definitely going to keep you in our prayers and pray that Georgia will do the right thing in your case, and oh, goodness, because you definitely don't need to be behind bars. Your children don't need to suffer anymore because they already lost their mom. And they still have you, but right now you're wrongfully incarcerated. So that wrong definitely needs to be made right. So thank you so much, Clinton, again, for calling in tonight and sharing with us. All right, everybody. That was Clinton. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Clinton. All right, everybody. As we go to the caller line, just keep in mind, everyone, I'm going to limit everyone to 5 minutes to tell your story or to make your comments. And we did callers tonight. And we're going to go to a caller right now. And then after this caller, we're going to go to probably over to Mississippi. All right, caller, you're live on the air. Welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Chinchilla. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mo?
I'm okay. I'm sad to hear about the young man in Georgia State Prison that was named Clinton Davis.
Yes.
There is some good news. I want to congratulate you, the 2021 Linear New Host of the Year, Sonia Griffin Award recipient, Chinchilla J., on her all-time connection record with her 47th and second consecutive with the Darlene Championship.
All right. Thank you so much,
yeah.
Mo. Thank you.
Yeah, you're reaching the masses to affect change. So you just keep doing what you're doing, girl.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. That was Mo Garber.
All right. At the beginning of the show, now I know that the young man Clinton, he was in prison, so of course it was fading out because of that. But your mic is fading in and out, so we want to try to fix that. What is the call number from Mississippi?
From Mississippi, it is 6612.
All right, 6612. They are not on at this time.
Okay, not on yet. Okay. All right. So go to 189. Well, never mind. Let's go to Georgia. Back to Georgia. 9575.
Hi, Chinchilla. This is Tammy Capps. How are you?
Good, Tammy.
Well, tonight I am actually calling about a case in Tennessee. I had spoke with you about him earlier, and the man's name is Wayne Grimes. And Wayne is wrongfully convicted of the murder of a man named Doyle Presley. Doyle was someone who he was a friend of that turns out he didn't know very well. Doyle was murdered 1999, I want to say. And Wayne was not convicted until 2005. But the murder was very strange. His body was found in a wooded area. His wife said she dropped him off in the morning, you know, around 6:30 to go hunting on the side of the interstate, and that she was supposed to come back to pick him up, and she couldn't ever find him. So eventually she called and said that he never came out of the woods, and the next day they found his body. So he had been shot. There was no blood at the scene. There was no deer stand. He was not wearing an orange vest, and his hunting rifle was sticking straight up in the ground. So the prosecution actually told, you know, the jury that he was hunting while standing in a tree and that Wayne shot him. Now, Doyle Presley was shot through his shoulder. It went through his lung and into his heart. Nobody ever questioned how somebody could shoot someone from the ground through their left shoulder if they're standing in a tree. Then it came out that Doyle was a pedophile. And when his daughter had been removed from the home, it was because he had raped her at gunpoint. Now, Doyle had told Wayne that he and Christy had a disagreement over a boy that she was dating, and that's all there was to it. And when Child Services returned, you know, the child to the home, Wayne believed him. He didn't believe that there was anything to it. But It's a very crazy case. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation actually wrote the widow a letter saying that unless she testified against Wayne and implicated him in the murder, then they had enough to arrest her for first-degree murder. Not accomplice, not, you know, conspiracy.
Wow.
Yeah, first-degree murder. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation wrote this letter, and I have a copy of it, so I know it exists. She did not speak to investigators until 7 months after the murder of her husband. At that time, she had said, you know, Wayne was not involved. She did not know what happened. She thought that maybe, you know, somebody had mistaken him in the woods and shot him, but there was no way that, you know, anybody else could have been involved. Now, Wayne was an alderman, and he tried to do good things in the town. They had, this is a town called Grootley Lager in Tennessee, and they were having a lot of problems with methamphetamines. They were having a lot of problems with pain pills. They were having a lot of, you know, just a lot of problems. And they wanted to disband the police department, and he refused. Everything that he tried to do good to clean up the town, the sheriff intervened. And then finally, Wayne gets slapped with murder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
that's crazy.
It is crazy. There's no physical evidence, of course, you know, because there was no blood at the scene. The medical examiner who testified was not licensed at the time of trial to even testify, but they let him testify because he was licensed at the time of the murder. The widow, the widow that, you know, was pointing the finger at Wayne after being threatened by the TBI to testify against him and say that he admitted to her that, you know, he killed her husband, had already moved out of state, was married again. You know, they never let, you know, anybody say anything about the fact that he had raped their daughter at gunpoint. There had never been anything, you know, said, period. And there is one key to this case that could have unlocked everything, is Wayne had went over to their house the night before to see if Doyle wanted to go hunting, because he went hunting a lot. And Doyle had told him that he had plans to go shopping the next day in Nashville and to stop by and see his foster mother, Heidi. Well, the prosecution made a very big joke out of this about how, you know, this is December the 13th, and there's no man who's going to go shopping. You know, all men do their shopping Christmas Eve. Ha, ha, ha. Never once tried to find, you know, this Heidi. Productions, my company with David Sale, he located the woman. And he told, you know, she told him, yeah, Doyle was supposed to come up here. They were going to go shopping in Nashville, and then he was going to stop by for a visit. And he never called, and he never showed up, and that's not like him. So I called Sharon to find out what was going on, and Sharon told me he had been killed. But that told, you know, that would have told everybody right then that, you know, he had no plans to go hunting. They never searched the house.
Right.
Sharon was, you know, Sharon went in that morning and tried to buy, you know, bleach at a local convenience store. She bought 3 gallons and she asked the clerk, do you have any more? And he said, no, only what's on the shelf. She was trying to buy, you know, to buy bleach. And there's no blood at the scene at all. So, I mean, I don't understand how nobody could tell that he was shot and killed somewhere else if there's no blood.
Right.
He's not hunting.
That is crazy.
He's not wearing. Yeah, he's not wearing his orange vest. And who goes hunt? I mean, I'm not a hunter, but who hunts standing in a tree? You know,
oh,
I mean, if you pull a trigger, the recoil itself could knock you off balance and you could fall out of that tree. How are you going to climb a tree while holding a gun if you don't have a tree stand?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a hunter. I've never been hunting, but, I mean, these are questions that I would ask myself before I would climb a tree with a loaded gun.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Wow. Mm-hmm. Tammy, we're going to bring David on now, okay, so he can talk more about this case of Wayne Grimes. So we're going to bring on David Sales right now and welcome him to the show. All right. David, how are you this evening? Welcome to News Forum. Okay. All right. Well,
so
we're going to
get David on here right now. Hold on a second. Should I get David on right now?
Okay.
David is not on at this time. That's why he didn't come on at that time. So we'll continue. All right.
Okay. All right. So David's not on right now. Okay. Now, Tammy, so now the daughter of the mother, now the husband raped the daughter at gunpoint?
Yes, he held a gun to her head and raped her. And Child Protective Services put that child back in his home after she told them that he raped her.
Okay, now that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. Why in the heck would they do that? Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well,
that's
turned out
crazy.
all the foster kids that they had fostered over the years, he was molesting them as well.
And there was
a Child Protective Service agent who was going to do something about it, and then it was like, I think it was a cottonmouth snake appeared in her mailbox.
Wow.
And she quit.
Now, with that type of behavior and all of those crimes that he committed, he should have been in jail. He should have been in jail.
Absolutely.
Just don't get it. Not in jail?
The only reason this murder was ever pinned on Wayne Grimes was, number one, to shut him up so that he would quit trying to disband, you know, or he would to get rid of the drugs, because that's what was making the revenue in the county, number one.
Mm.
So that's why they pinned the murder on him. Number two, they knew very well that that man's blood was on their hands. Nobody cared that a pedophile had been murdered. Nobody cared that a pedophile had been murdered. Up until they needed someone to pin it on. And, you know, there's this man here who does not want to play ball.
Right. And so now, the wife, to me, because it seems like with the history of that relationship and then what's happened with the daughter, I mean, the wife would have had motive to
She had absolute motive. She failed lie detector tests. They did not give the insurance money to her. I mean, she had motives. She had plenty of motives. She had granddaughters that she was terrified of him being around. And she never forgave him for doing that to their child. She never got over that. She never let that go.
Wow. This is a very sad case. And Mr. Grimes now has been in prison for 22 years for a crime he did not commit. And, you know, because he wanted to get the drugs off the streets. I mean, this is just so ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yep.
Everybody, this is the case out in Tennessee.
That portion of the police department, because the police department was bringing in too much, and it was costing the court system in that county too much to keep up with what they were bringing off the street, that they voted to disband it, and Wayne said, no, absolutely not, killing people out there.
Right. Wow.
I will not
disband
this police department.
That just, Tennessee
they got rid of
definitely
it.
Needs to right their wrong. Right their wrong in this case of Wayne Grimes. And hopefully we'll be able to get David on next week if he doesn't get on here tonight.
He was on the line with me earlier, but then he had something that he was trying to do as well, so it was hard for him to hold.
Okay. Yeah, well, we'll definitely get him on because there's another case out there in Tennessee that I want to talk to him about as well. And Tammy, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
About Adam?
And oh, what? No. This is a case that that he doesn't know about yet. It's a case that I'm going to be featuring a guy named Gary Sutton. Yeah. So I definitely want to talk to him about that case. And now, while I have you
on
the line, now I know that you had been advocating for Ali Shabazz out there in Georgia.
Yes.
Do you have
yes.
any updates on his case?
We don't. That's why I didn't talk about Ali tonight, is we don't have anything. The private investigator is still working, trying to locate the DNA in his case. And the last I heard is that, you know, the DeKalb County district attorney. I can't think. The DeKalb County District Attorney's Office was trying to locate it as well.
Wow.
So until
that's
we can get a hold of that DNA and see if we can get it retested because of the advancements, we're kind of just stuck.
Yeah, and that's another crazy case because, I mean, how do you lose DNA, you know?
Right.
You lose it purposely. I mean, it doesn't just
walk out. How do you send DNA
out to
an out-of-state lab when the GBI has told you there's no biological match?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's just a ploy on their part, and it's so sad. So hopefully
yep.
it will mysteriously turn up. So, I mean, that's crazy. But, Tammy, thank
yeah.
you so much for calling in tonight and sharing the case of Wayne Grimes. And we will definitely be keeping him in prayer and definitely keep us updated on that case, okay? All right. We're going to go to another caller right now. And I believe that the next caller is calling in from, I believe, Louisiana or Mississippi, with the Mississippi case, I believe. But don't hold me to that. Let's find out right now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, this is
Caller, you're live on the air. Hi, Tawanda.
Hey,
how are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me back. Last week we talked about Mississippi and Amaya's case, and this week
yes.
I wanted to talk about Elliot Sterling's case in Louisiana.
Yes.
Elliot Sterling, he was hit with a $1.4 million loan scheme. But before I talk about his case, I think it's really important that we back up to he's the first cousin of Elton Sterling. So many people might know about his case. In July 5th, 2016, he was shot by two Baton Rouge police officers. He was selling CDs in front of a store, which he had authorization from the store owner to be there. He was shot and killed by these police. It was a protest, a big protest in Louisiana. They requested a civil rights investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice. In May of 2017, they decided to not to file any criminal charges for them coming and kill this man. So I think it's important to get those dates, May 2017. So Elliot Sterling, which is Alton's first cousin, and his mom, Sandra Sterling, was big on going against the police department and the feds about his cousin's case. And how it wasn't any justice in that case. They still haven't released who the 911 caller was that was called to the scene. So so many inconsistencies in that case. But Elliot was one that was really vocal about his cousin's case. So 4 months later, Elliot gets hit with an indictment. It's by the same DA and the same feds that covered his cousin's case. What they're saying is they had 15 counts of basically what they're trying to say is wire fraud, financial aid fraud, and money laundering. What they're saying is he created fake people to get money from the FAFSA, financial aid. One of the problems with that is anytime you fill out financial aid paperwork, the person has to go. They have to provide documentation. They have to provide their signatures and ID. Now, he did have a business, an LLC, that was registered in the state where he was helping kids in the neighborhood that really wasn't doing anything in the neighborhood. He decided that he wanted to go to school, and then he encouraged way too many black people from the city to go to school to. So what he did, he found out that they didn't know how to do their financial aid or they didn't have a GED. So he helped out a lot of students. What they're trying to say is he stole these people identity and basically got money through the LLC and did not provide a service to give it to the students that was supposed to go to the students. Okay, it's said that he had 200 falsified financial aid applicants. Okay, the problem, if you have 200 students that they're saying that he committed the fraud to, but they have no victims. Okay. The problem with his case, like his due process, has been hindered through years. They've used COVID-19 so many times to push back the court date. He did have a public defender. The public defender, Elliot's on here, he can speak for himself, but basically told him, allegedly, that he was hired basically to make him lose. We had a problem.
Wow.
In the
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did you say Elliot is on here as well?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, okay. Awesome. 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 We can definitely get to talk to him. If you don't mind, let me just get him on and speak with him. Elliot, how are you tonight? Tawanda, is he on your line or he's on another line?
Can you hear me? Do I have to press one?
Yes. Okay. I can hear you, Elliot. How are you tonight?
Okay. I'm okay. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay. So now you had a business and you were like helping people with their financial aid applications and all of that. And now you're in prison.
No, I'm not in prison.
And they're charging you with these counts of. You have a what?
I'm not in prison, but my trial just ended a couple of days ago, so I have a sentence date on July 7th.
Okay, on July 7th is your sentencing date. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And so, and wow. So tell me about that. I mean, so how did this all conspire?
Okay, well, my business was actually created in 2017. So, you know, my cousin died in 2016, right?
Yes.
My cousin Alton, he died in 2016. So in 2016, I went through a depression. So I had, like, isolated myself. Alton was, like, he wasn't just my cousin. He was, like, one of my best friends. He was, like, I used to call him my brother. We used to talk every day. So when he died, the media and all of that kind of controlled me. So I went through a depression. So I isolated myself. I was inside of my home for, like, months, and I didn't want to leave. So then I started to feel like I was going to die inside my home. So it was like going through a depression, losing everything. I wanted to come out of the house because I'm like, I don't want to die with no purpose. So then I leave the house, and I have no car at this time, so I start catching the bus. So I asked the bus driver, was it okay to ride the bus with my Southern University ID, which you're not supposed to because it's expired because I went to school like 7-8 years ago. So she's like, yes, where are you going? I'm like, the library. So I start going to the library like just to be outside of my house. So then from going from the library from weeks from reading books, using the computer, trying to come back into society, I go back to Southern University and try to get back into school. So Southern was like, well, you've been gone so long and you've exhausted your appeals. And I didn't really understand. I have 88 credits at Southern University, but I didn't know how to turn it into an associate's degree because the process was so hard for me when I was 19 years old. So Southern University said, well, why don't you go to BRCC because it's cheaper. So I was under the impression that I can go there and get my aid back. So I go to BRCC, and it's way smaller than Southern. Like, Southern is a university, and BRCC is a community college. So I go inside of the financial aid. It's my first time at BRCC. And, like, they're understaffed. They only had, like, 6 staff members for 10,000 people. So they tell me the process that I had to go through to get back in school, but remind you that I did this over like 7-8 years ago at Southern University and I have 80 credits. So it's really easy for me. So they send me back to the student center. So I started like doing my FAFSA and stuff, but people start talking to me because you could tell like I was the only person there who understood the process. So they start asking me questions like, do you know how to do a FAFSA? I'm like, yeah, this website. you know how to do counseling? I'm like, yeah, this website. So I leave that day from doing my process and go back home. So I said, okay, well, maybe I should start going to BRCC and using their computer and study the library computer every day, because I was going to the library every day. So I started going to BRCC every day until my stuff processed. It took like 2 weeks to process. So every day I was going there, started off with just three people asking for help. Then that three turned to 10, then that 10 turned to 20. So then when the 2 weeks passed, BRCC said, well, you can come to BRCC as a transfer. Your transfer has went through, but you can't receive aid. So I told them I thought Southern was sending me there because I can get aid. They was like, no, Southern sent you here because we're cheaper. You can come here and pass the classes and get your aid back. But remember, I just came off of depression. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a car. I didn't have any money. So I'm walking outside of BRCC because they just told me that basically I can't come to school unless I come up with like $2,000, and I had no money at the time. So this is 2017. So I have like two students act. They're like, we were looking for you. I'm like, well, I'm headed back home. I'm having a bad day. And they're like, well, we needed your help. So I'm like, well, it's not that many people here today. You can go inside of financial aid. So they're like, well, we've been through financial aid. They're not helping us. So I just told them basically I was having a bad day. But I said, you come to the library on Eden Park, I'll be there. So they end up coming to the library the next day, and I helped them. And they tried to pay me for it. And I'm like, well, I don't need the money because I'm just basically telling y'all how to do it. So then they end up getting my phone number, and those two people turned to hundreds coming to the library for help. So it was the client, it was the students who were saying, maybe you should turn this to a business because we don't understand BRCC staffing, they're not helpful. And, like, they had a lot of complaints. Like, if you went inside of BRCC as an 18-year-old and you say you didn't know what a FAFSA was, they'll tell you that you shouldn't be in college. When if the high schools aren't teaching it, how are you going to know? That was, like, on a Friday. So I said, okay, well, let me try to turn it into a business. So I ended up going to BRCC telling them that it was a large amount of people that didn't understand their process and I wanted to help them. So they said, okay, well, what do you need from us? So I asked them about the wage forms. I'm like, a lot of students say they don't know how to fill out the wage forms. So they're like, basically, like, if you don't have your taxes, put zero in it and you'll be reviewed for us to either find it or send you to the IRS. And I asked them also about the diplomas. I said, well, how do I verify the diplomas? They say, you don't. We do. So he basically said, if you help anybody, you just basically put in the information in and we verify everything. So when I started helping people, it was never a problem. The problem came in with the Justice Department, and the Justice Department was mad with the Sterling family because we spoke out. And they also wanted my mother and my aunt to go on TV and say, we understand why Alton was killed before they gave the verdict that they wasn't going to do anything to the officers. And that's when my business became a target. And then that's when they came and started kicking students out of school. But now when we get the trial, they say the students withdrew. I'm like, no, they didn't withdrew. They were kicked out. So that's kind of how my business started.
Wow. Wow. That is really, really madness there. So your uncle was Alton Sterling. And,
my cousin.
You know, your cousin. Okay, it's your cousin. And so, you know, people, I'm sure some of you that are listening tonight probably do remember that case, man selling CDs in front of a store. You know, and, you know, it was murdered by the cops. The cops, they didn't go to prison. You know, it's just so ridiculous how they just constantly get away with these crimes.
When you go through police brutality as a family and they don't want to take it out on the officers, they blame the family. Like, my mom has had three strokes, and like, her last stroke, she was screaming, I didn't kill Alton. But, like, at the moment, she's, like, demonizing me, like, I killed him. And then they start doing it to the whole family. Like, I had a cousin who were trying to fight for. He ended up getting arrested, and he called me. He said his name is Demario Sterling. He's deceased right now. He was murdered in 2019. But he called me. He said, Elliot, he said they just came to the house and placed the gun on me. He said it's not mine. So he says you need to do everything you can in your power to get me out of here. He says I don't care what you have to pay or who you have to talk to. He said if you don't get me out of here, they're gonna murder me. He says, I'm not going to die of natural causes. So we tried everything. I was willing. And I had a lot of money because I was already working my business. I was 2 years in. So I tried to put up the whole bun, and they wouldn't accept it. I called the mayor. I called the state representatives for help. I said, my cousin say he's going to be murdered in jail. He don't get out because of Alton. So then, like, they was like, oh, he's using Alton as a scapegoat. But I believe my cousin when he told me. So we talk every day, and I try. And then we get a call 7 days later saying he died of natural cause.
Wow. That is so very sad.
He was 33 years old at the time. He'll be 36 right now. But he said it, and he kept saying on the phone, he said, if you don't get me out, they're going to kill me. So now they're saying he's died of natural cause.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They tell people that their loved ones died of natural causes when it's them killing them. It doesn't make sense. It's so ridiculous. Oh, my gosh, Elliot. It's so sad, sad situation. It's ridiculous.
With my business, I have a contract from every client. I have a verification form of how they receive their funds from every client. And I submitted all of these things at the grand jury to show them that I was running a legit business. And they stole some of the documentation. They forced witnesses. I had one witness come in, and he says, I'm not going to lie on him. They sent him back to jail on a Friday and brought him back Monday to testify. And he was beat up. But I proved a trial beyond a reasonable doubt that my business was legit. But when you look at the jury instructions, it says that you are allowed to go off a reasonable doubt when it's supposed to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And he also said, with my evidence. He didn't submit any of my evidence. He submitted 1,500 pages of their evidence and submitted 3 pages for me to go to the jury. So I'm like, what about the contracts? He's like, I didn't approve them.
Wow. Wow, that is so very crazy.
And I could not find an attorney that would represent me. So I had to represent myself.
Wow. So now what are the attorneys saying? Are they like, saying they don't want to take your case on?
Well, the first attorney they gave me, like, he's a white guy. And, like, the first thing I noticed that when I met him, he wasn't formal with me. Like, he didn't shake my hand, but he blamed that on COVID. So I come to the courtroom early enough to where I could sit in and be the first person. I watch him shake everybody's hand but mine. So I asked the judge, like, I said, is this formal? So he said, well, I'll shake this person's hand who's black, but he still wouldn't shake mine. So then I get to researching him, and then I find out that he's best friends with the attorney who represented the officers. So I asked him about that. So I write the board about him, and then it goes back to the judge, but the judge denies it. So then I go back and talk to him about my case. He don't know anything about my case. We're like 4 or 5 months in. So I asked him to be removed off my case. He says no. So then I asked him a second time. He says no again. So then when it was time to go to trial and they wanted me to plea, I didn't plea. So then he finally got off the case. So then I started I found an attorney in Boston named Jeffrey Nathan. He actually was part of President Trump's team when President Trump was going to court or whatever. He was representing
me.
And so I paid him like $4,000 for the initial fee. He sends it back, and I said, why did you send the money back? He said, because the Justice Department is trying to sue me for representing you. I reached out to some attorneys in Baton Rouge, and all of them are giving me the runaround. But one guy, he says, well, look, I'll help you off record. He says, if you came up with $1 million, I still wouldn't take your case. He said, no one's taken a Sterling case against the Justice Department, the same Justice Department that did the Alton Sterling case.
I got to come on, young man. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you contacted the NAACP in Louisiana?
Correct. The NAACP tried to help me. The guy over the NAACP, now Eugene Collins, he came to trial to testify for me. He came to trial to testify for me, and they wouldn't let him say one word. And you can call him and ask him.
First question, I will contact the office in Louisiana, but also that shouldn't have stopped because you have the national office in New York. Try to get in contact with the national office in New York because there's no way in the world. And once again, I said this last week, Chinchilla. A lot of times I told you, I'm going to come on when I feel like it because I'm just that bored to want to do it. You know, I mean, I'm going to stand up for justice. You know how Chinchilla, you know how I am. There's no reason why the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is not taking this case. There's no way in the world this young man is being railroaded. He's being railroaded. He's being railroaded.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm out. I don't feel like talking no more.
Yeah. And I went to trial by myself.
That's so very true. It's sad.
And I tried. My mom raised money. My mom paid an attorney, and he gave her a price like $12,000. A guy named Skinner. He's only had his law degree for like 3 years. My mom paid him like $10,000, and he gave it back to her. He's like, I can't take this case.
Wow.
Like everybody who take the case after they talk to the Justice Department, they call back and say they can't take the case, or they'll call back and say, can you pay us $100,000? And then they held my ass for 4 years. They stopped me from getting jobs. Like one time, they even had me put out the movie theater.
Oh wow! So this is really sad. Sad, Elliot. And you know, my heart goes out to you with this situation. And right. Yeah, something definitely needs to happen. Definitely contact the national, their national office in New York, because it's just ridiculous. I mean, somebody has to be able to represent you. This is just so outrageous. It's insane. Very insane. I'm sorry. Now, you said July 7th is the date for your sentencing?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to come up with money right now to pay for an appeal lawyer because, like, a lot of people are saying, like, an appeal lawyer should be able to see all the errors that happened in trial, like him sending three documents in for me. Him telling the jurors they can go off a reasonable doubt. Like, and then the money laundering charge was removed. They had four unavailable witnesses, and I still got charged for that. So at that point in time, what is this? Like, the charge 15 isn't even on the docket, but then he comes back and says, I'm charged for it. And then four witnesses don't even come, and I still get charged for them. But one thing I haven't been able to talk about is my clients as victims, too. Like, my clients didn't go to school for just money. My clients were pushed out of school. Like they start, and my clients were 98% black. So they start sitting outside the schools. They start going to people's houses. They start going to their relatives' house. They start calling their phones, going to their jobs. Like they pushed them out of school. And where I'm from, like if the police come, people are going to run because they're afraid of them. I had over 50 witnesses who said they would have came testified for being my clients, but they were scared of retaliation. Like, when I put them on my witness list, instead of them serving the subpoenas, they start going to those people's houses saying, when you come to trial, after trial, you're going to have problems with us. And one of the people is like one of my best friends, and she would not come to trial, but she wouldn't tell me that they scared her into after my trial. She's like, I wanted to be there for you, but I was afraid. She said, because of the retaliation.
Now, this is really sickening. This is sickening to hear. That corruption like that is just totally outrageous. And, you know, everybody, this is Louisiana, okay, the deep south, Louisiana, Hickville, you know, that's what I call it. It's just so very sad, and it's outrageous. And we're definitely going to have you back again to revisit your case, Sterling, before you go to sentencing. So we're definitely going to be talking with you again, okay? And
okay.
I'm going to get you on a podcast as well. But we do have to go to another caller now. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. And Tawanda, thank you so much for sharing Elliot's case with me as well. All right, we're going to go to another caller right now. Before we go to this caller, take a listen to this song because, you know, everything that we're listening to tonight that's happening tonight is happening all around this country, that children are being murdered, children are being raped, molested, children are being set up and framed for crimes at young ages, 14, 15, 16, 17, you know, in early 20s. And this happens each and every day, and it's such a sad, sad situation around this country that we live in filled with injustices. But something has to be done because we have to help our children. And every time a man is wrongfully convicted of a crime that he did not commit, most of these men are fathers. And they are in prison and their children are suffering. And children are suffering around this country through senseless gun violence and all other different things that affect black and brown communities as well as white ones. So take a listen to this song.
"We Gotta Do It for the Children" was written, arranged, and composed by Pennsylvania historical exoneree Vincent Moto. Vocals and piano arranged and composed and performed by Ronald Bridges. To purchase a copy of this CD, you may cash app $20 to Vincent Moto at $MagicMan2017. That's $MATIC MAN2017. And please put in the comments CD purchase.
There's no time to waste. There is a bird that we must fly. Sacrifice what's needed. Think about the children. Can't give up on trying. Too many dying. Mothers are crying. Peace and happiness is nowhere to be found. So many the struggle, doing the best that they can, sacrificing, making a stand. But we all know the truth will always somehow show. They got the desire, all the need in the heaven. There ain't nothing wrong. That's not reality. Hate and poverty bring sorrow, but only love can bring a better tomorrow. Take a look around. Somebody tell me what it's gonna be. Children are imitating the mind. Flashy cars and diamond rings, they don't even have a job. We gotta do it, we gotta do it for the children. Do it with love. Do it now. We gotta do it. Gotta do it for the love of life. Now and forever, before we die. Don't turn your back on our future. Give them love like we used to. We can save the children if we give them love. I'm talking about you, talking about me, talking about love.
Let's do it for the children. Donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition to help Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto build the Vincent Moto Free School of Music for Children in Point Breeze in South Philadelphia, which will be a safe haven for children in that community. To donate, please Cash App your donations to $ Be a Voice Tour. That's $ capital B E A V O I C E T O U R. You may also donate via Venmo. The Venmo account is Be a Voice. For more information, you may dial 844-642-8378 extension 777. Let's do it for the children. Make the choice and be a voice today.
All right, everybody. That was We Gotta Do It for the Children, written by Pennsylvania Historical Exoneree Vincent Moto. Again, his Cash App, if you want to purchase that CD, it comes with the soundtrack from After Innocence as well. And again, his Cash App is $MaticMan2017. That's $MaticMan2017. All right. Callers, if you would like to talk live on the air tonight, please press 1. There's lots of callers tonight, and so many people are listening. But if you want to talk, please press 1, because that's the only way we're going to know that you want to speak live on the air. All right. We're going to go over to Georgia again and speak with Charles tonight. Charles, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, Ms. Chinchilla. I'm doing okay. Thank you again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. So now tell us what's going on down there now in Georgia.
As of now, here in Georgia, we are definitely getting prepared for the courtroom support system and the unity in the community here in Georgia. That support system is being put into play now. And that courtroom support system is the court dates that I will be posting in the next 14 days. And we are asking just nationwide, especially here in Georgia as well, to attend the court hearing, sit in, take notes, and watch and see and listen and pay attention to how the judges and the DAs are processing. And if you don't like it, say something. And that's what we're doing here in Georgia in the next 14 days.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's wonderful. Wonderful. And now, Charles, briefly tell everybody now about your case.
Yes, ma'am. I was convicted back in 2014. And through that whole course up to now, I do have a habeas petition filed here in Cordele, Georgia, next to Albany, Georgia. And that habeas petition contesting the state of Georgia of that confinement of substance that they have not made no law for yet. And the question that my family, my campaign is asking is that if they not made no law, well, why did you put him in prison? And that question there, it has not been answered because the district attorney has intentionally disregarded and still in violation of an open record request that was filed 3 years ago. According to the laws in Georgia, you got 3 days, not 3 years, to turn over no record. And And now what done happened in that case is it been on the calendar for so long, from 18 to now, the judge just got upset, you know, and pushed the case off the calendar. So now I'm to the point now. Yeah, and they pushed it off the calendar for one reason. And we're going to be exposing that after I get a little bit more documents and a little bit more update with it, Ms. Chinchilla, and I'll be exposing why. But the open record violation, that open record violation is very, very important to everyone that listening online. If you do not like anything that your district attorney doing in your hometown, you have the right to file an open record request and demand records of Ms. Williams that stay down the road from you that you know have been convicted illegally and you heard about it. And you can go down to the district attorney's office and let him know I, myself, and the citizen of this town would like to do an open record request for Ms. Williams that stay down the road. And they have to cough that up and produce that within 3 days. And some states and counties may have a 10-day mark. I know Mississippi have 14 days.
Okay.
But Georgia have 3. And the more pressure that we apply on these district attorneys and these judges in your town and your state, along with the NAACP, okay, because they have chapters in every county, in every state here, right? And when that young man spoke about that, about the NAACP, your energy and your love, I feel that. And they need to be held accountable. Not only the NAACP, every last one of them that say they stand with us need to be held accountable and stand with us. So that's what I have to say, Ms. Chinchilla, on that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Charles, for sharing that with us. And definitely can't wait to be updated on what's going to happen next once you get the papers and things that you're waiting for.
Yes.
Can't wait to hear about that. And we will definitely continue to keep you in our prayers. And thank you so much for sharing tonight, Charles.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Yes, thank you. And everybody, again, the song that you heard, Let's Do It for the Children, we got to do it for the children. In the beginning, I mentioned, you know, Ronald Bridges, who played the piano and wrote the piano track for that song. And he wrote the lyrics and he did the vocals. And his vocals were so awesome. It reminds me of Teddy Pendergrass. So that song is very awesome and very touching. Again, if you would like to purchase that CD, it comes with another soundtrack as well, After Innocence. And again, Cash App is $MATIC, M-A-T-I-C, MAN, M-A-N, 2017. All right. Wow. You know, these cases of corruption, injustice, and all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on in this country. And I'm up north. I'm in the state of Pennsylvania. And here in the state of Pennsylvania, there's corruption upon corruption upon corruption right here in the state I'm in. And it's a racist state as well. And we're up north. We're not in the deep south. But racism is very prevalent around this entire country, and it seems to be getting worse instead of better. And it's just crazy, you know, to see such blatant racism around this country in 2022. It's a sad situation. Let me share something with you all in North Carolina, okay? In North Carolina, the students at the Chatham County School District, they were bullying black students, and they decided they wanted to have a student-organized mock auction of black students, okay? Now, listen to this. I mean, this is called racial bullying, okay? And that's what these students did. They held a mock auction of black students, like they were having a slave trade, you know. And this, to me, is something that everyone should be outraged about and infuriated about. And that is not the only school that happened in. This has happened this year in 2022 in about four different school districts around this country, maybe even more, but some of them just have not disclosed that. But the parents in this particular school district, they were outraged, and, you know, they wanted to see changes made because the one lady, Ashley Palmer, she said her son, you know, experienced a slave auction by his classmates, and when he opened up, they were made aware of that this stuff seems to be the norm, okay? So he didn't even want his parents to know about this at first. And, you know, he didn't think it was worth even sharing, you know, because he really didn't think anything of it. But this is something that we must be concerned about because it's very wrong. I mean, you know, slavery is something that did take place. You know, that's like somebody holding a mock Holocaust, okay, in school. Okay, and this is just so very wrong, and I'm very upset about this happened to those students. And then he said that one of his friends was sold to another student for $350, and the student was his slave master because he knew how to handle them, okay? And then the other students, they were busy saying the N-word, you know, calling these black students the N-word. And, yeah, the N-word is, you know, calling the nigger. And it's sad. But yet the teachers and everybody stood by and allowed stuff like this to happen. And nobody's saying anything about this. This is really absurd. It's insanity. And this type of practice has to stop. And so where do these students get this type of behavior from? Well, from their racist parents, of course. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And here we have, this is taking place in North Carolina, okay? One of those biggest slave states of slavery. And I'm just so upset about this. And everyone should be, because that should not be taking place in school. There's enough stuff happening in school with kids bullying kids. But to have racial bullying to that level, it has to be stopped. And Brother O, I know you want to chime in and say something about this.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, it's almost unbelievable to even hear this story. This is what's happening with, you know, the so-called black race in America. We the generation, are failing our children. Let me say why. I always say that charity starts at home. Do I say it every night? Do I get a chance? You teach your kids, if something goes on that ain't right, you come and tell me right away. But what's happening is a lot of our black kids are being dulled by this stupid music. And the music is not, you know, it glorifies black death and black genocide. So if you're listening to that type of music all the time, then sometimes you feel a sense of, you know, unworthiness. So then you allow these things to happen to you post-haste. There's no way in the world that you hear something about this, you should be calling the Channel 8 News, Channel 4 News. That's a big story. That would be on TMZ. Our kids have access to social media like never before. There should be somebody down there taping this and sending it to the big networks. We're not training our kids, man, nonviolent direct action. And that's a problem, because we have to make sure that the stuff that I heard tonight by the young man is absurd. His cousin got killed. He's investigating the cousin. What really went on in that behind the scenes that this man was targeted for death and then the family is targeted, you know, for degradation? It doesn't make sense. And then people, 50 people are going to be targeted. Trust me. And we know there's going to be some martyrs sometime. But let me tell you something. You got 50 people that are supposed to testify. Let me tell you something. At least, I'm telling you for real, at least 37 of them should have said, you know what, I'm ready to die. So what? All right, take it. Whatever. We can't allow this to happen. When a race of people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, they make changes. And after a while, something is going to hit the black race in America to where everyone is going to come together, because we're going to have no choice. There's no way in hell That story should even been told on News Forum tonight. It should have never happened. A slave auction in school? Are you kidding me? Are you flipping kidding me? There's no way in the world we should accept these things. That's why News Forum exists. That's why there's no micromanagement here. There is no censorship here. We're going to tell it like it is. We're going to tell it to the hot, the cold, the young, and the old, whether you like it or not. If you've been offended, you'll be fine. Take some aspirin and call us in the morning.
Yes, take some aspirin, some Tylenol or something. Yeah, or have a drink, do something. But, yeah, we have controversial topics and controversial guests. But everything we talk about is really happening in real life. These are real life events, things that I cannot make up. I wish they were made up, but these are things that people are going through around this country. And something has to be done. And people, you have to stop being silent. Stop looking the other way. Stop turning your head. Stop being unconcerned about what other people are going through, because these same very issues may affect you or someone you love one day. And that day may be coming very soon. You never know. So it's time to show some compassion. It's time to speak up and speak out against every injustice. We're going to go to another caller now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Whew. You know, woman of God, I tell you, I've been in a state of prayer ever since I heard about this auction. Boy, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Brother Hooney.
I want to come a little closer to the speaker. I want to take people back to the time when they aired Roots the very first time. I can't tell you how many butt kickings that was going on. See, I came from the streets of Nam, and those of us from the streets of Nam, we believe in balance. We ain't turning no other cheek. All of that's out the window. You understand? But on the real, you're dealing with some people that have, yes, sad to say this, have accepted everything. We accepted their form of the God figures, the messiahs, in images that's not ours. People say, you know, color don't matter. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Because the image you see in your mind is what you're going to place in your heart. This is why the average person of African-American descent or whatever feels so much compassionate to when you're dealing with a Caucasian. You understand? That's why it made it easier. And I say this all the time. It made it easier for someone who's looking in the image and after the likeness of Jesus, according to them. That little blonde-haired boy that went into that church and prayed with him. Why was that easy? Because he's in the image of their God. You understand? So they automatically trust him. You get what I'm saying? So they let a demon come up in their church and kill 7 out of 8 of their people and say, I'm not here to pray with y'all. I'm here to kill y'all and leave one of y'all alive. It makes it easier. You understand? So you know, anyone, I mean, I've been taking some serious compassion, but I'm here to tell you, I don't care who you are. How dare you try to come against me and say color don't matter, Mr. Preacher Man, Mr. Reverend Chicken Wing. You understand? It's time for to teach our people the truth. And if you open up the book of Revelation, it's going to be completely the opposite of what Michelangelo and all of these European artists said the Messiah Jesus looked like. They won't even stand up and fight for the identity. Won't even stand up and fight for the identity of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you wonder why people are running up out of the church. It's time for the truth. It's time for the truth.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, it is.
No, he don't go there that quick. I'm getting back on here again. I love what the fact what Hooney Bakatun just said. First of all, again, that's why it's called News Forum. I was the first host of News Forum. I'm going to keep on talking. Let me tell you something right now. I know that a lot of shows in 2013 with me and Antonia Batts and Gene Turner and Lovely Ellis did, that's the type of shows, Chinchilla, we had. You know, Kiss Our Entire Black, you know, that type of show. There is no way.
Yeah.
All right, Hooney, you know how we get there, right? Chinchilla, you're a fighter. You know what I'm saying? There's no way our children are going to come home and tell us that happened. You know. I don't give a damn what I'm doing the next day. I'm up at that school that day, don't care, and I'm coming up there with I'm calling every single radio station. I'm calling Tom Joyner. I'm calling Charlamagne Tha God at the Breakfast Club. I'm calling even the liar, Dr. Umar Johnson. I'm calling him. I'm calling every single person. I'm calling the Nation of Islam. I'm calling all the brothers from so-called Israel, you know, the Hebrew Israelites, right? You guys will be fighters, right? Well, guess what? Meet me at the school. Meet me at the school door. I'm going to be like George Wallace standing right there in the school door in reverse, because I'm going to talk about how there's no way in the world we allow our children to go through that type of degradation in our lifetime. There's no way. There's no way. Going back to the young man. And I know he's been saying everybody's been turning against me. I challenge that young man, call TMZ, call the National Enquirer, call your grandma. I don't care who you got to call. There's no way in the world people are turning down the money. Oh, we can't do this. What do you mean? If you lose, you lose. But you told turn down the chance to defend the person who's innocent? I mean, sometimes this news forum becomes a house of sorrows every damn week. It's a house of sorrows. A house of sorrows every week. Man, we come up with the most saddest stories you ever heard in your whole life. Now, however, here's the situation. Why does news forum exist? Chinchilla is not breaking her back every week to come on here to tell you all these things. And listen, I'm going to say anything I got to say. It goes in time. I'm paying the bills to do my due diligence. I'm going to say what I got to say right now. Let me tell you something. Bunch of coward-ass people. You need to be ashamed of yourself. Now, forget the people who's oppressing you, okay? Because you're only oppressed unless you accept it. You know what I said. I'm going back to old-school Lonnie Beverly type talk tonight, because you're going to hear me tonight. You know what I mean? You know, you're going to hear me tonight. You're a bunch of coward-ass people. You ain't worth panty waste. If you allow your child to be bullied until you come home talk about it's a slave auction. I'm telling you, yes, you go up to the school, you call the new black pastor party, you call all the evil Israelites, you call the drug dealers on the corner, yo, man. You're like, what happened, man? We know we're going to start selling these drugs right now and go up to the school. I don't care who you got to do, the toughest brothers in the block, y'all should be in front of that school door. And going back to the old school, like the Milton and John Street back in the days at Whitman Plaza, we tired and we fired up. We ain't going to take this no more. We fired up. We ain't going to take it no more. See, that's what happened. We lost the spirit of compassion and the spirit of the right protest, the right to protest for right. Remember, a law could be a law, but I'm telling you right now, you have the right to anything that's an unjust law, you need to stand up for it. There is no way in hell. And you North Carolina folks that's listening, you parents, I called you out. You're a bunch of coward-ass people. You need to be ashamed of yourself. I hope you listen to the news forum. Any comments, suggestions, kiss my whole entire at lbeverly17 at Gmail. You want to talk to me? We can talk. I heard you say how much of a bitch you are. How about that? I'm that bull. Holler at me.
Can I say one more thing about the turning the other cheek? So a lot of people don't understand. Here's how Hoonie Bakatoon going to turn the other cheek. I know. That's a challenge there. You mess around and slap me on one side of my face. I tell you what, when I do turn around, you better not be standing there. That's how you turn the other cheek, like that.
That's how you turn the other cheek. All right. I like that, Brother Hoonie.
I'm gonna turn around, but if you're still standing there, you're dealing with somebody that's going to take you from this world straight into the next and be whipping your ass for the rest of your journey.
I like that.
It's all your fault.
Oh, wow.
It's your fault you inspired all these emotions. It's your fault. You should know better. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I get back on like we're really back until you said. I meant what I said. Please email me.
Yes.
I will tell you how much of a coward you are. You know what I mean? If you're a parent that allows that to go on, there's no excuse. You're not a parent. You're just a life giver.
Yeah.
You just plant the seed.
Right.
You just carry the child. There's no way.
Right.
You go back to the years back in the day when they used to do the dial test and how that child will always pick the white dial. That's a sad situation. That's where our kids are feeling. They're feeling that they're not worth anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can't even imagine that. It ain't no old folk talk. I'll give you a good example. Holy Bacato, I'm a DJ. You know that. Chinchilla, you know I'm a DJ. Best has ever done it. I talked to a young lady, and this goes on with what's going on in the prison system. Remember now, the music allows the prison system, industrial complex, to keep on its revenue. Talked to a young lady the other day, and I said, you like this music? They're talking about, yo, I'm going to kill your mama, too. And you bob your head, yeah, that's cool. That's not cool. Just because everybody's listening right. to it, everybody's doing it, and you want to fit in, then what you're listening to is not cool. Yes, I understand we do a show here, okay? And we're going to do it for young folk because we don't, like I said, we have the right to do news forms. It's like the young folk have the right to do Merc City. However, I'm going to tell you right now that it's not cool. We know it's in the, you need to know what's going on in those streets. I get it. But you to bob your head like, yeah, that's the John. No, that's not the John. No, it's not. That's not the, that should be your favorite
right.
That's supposed to warn you right. like, not to do and stay out the way. But again, Chinchilla, Jonicia, it's all her fault tonight that I came on here. She brought that story up. You should have never said that story on this way because you should know I'm going to come on and say what I had to say. You know I'm going to give an editorial. I said what I said. If you're a coward-ass person, please contact me. I run this thing. I have 26 hosts. I run it. You ain't got to talk to them. You can talk to me. LBeverly17@gmail.com. Now, back to Chinchilla and Jay.
Now, that is so funny. Everybody, this is News Forum. And you all know that I always say there's no profanity on News Forum. I wanted to use some profanity after talking about that slave trade in the school district. I wanted to use some profanity too. Doggone it. But anyway, wow. Now, Brother Hooney, I want you to listen to this piece. This is another thing that will probably piss y'all off too. But this is a case in down in Shucks. Somewhere, I forget where it's at now, but this FedEx case, FedEx driver who was actually like chased in his FedEx van down the street and all around by two white people, a father and a son, which somewhat reminds me of the Ahmaud Arbery case. So take a listen to this.
Justice has failed DeMontario Gibson in a city filled with corruption, racism, and cover-up.
A white father and son facing charges for allegedly opening fire on a black FedEx driver, and the calls this morning to investigate the shooting as a possible hate crime. Brookhaven police are conducting their own investigation, according to the mayor, but the attorney for the FedEx driver says they want this case moved out of that jurisdiction because they have no faith in local authorities. Attorneys for DeMontario Gibson are calling for a hate crime investigation after a father and son allegedly shot at him in a Brookhaven, Mississippi neighborhood while he was on the job for FedEx. 24-year-old Gibson says he was delivering packages. That is when he alleges Gregory Case tried to use his pickup truck to block him from leaving. Gibson says he was in a FedEx uniform but was driving a rental van.
Swears on the glass and everything like that. He went through a decent amount of trash cans and everything. He tries to cut me off. And, like, instantly my instincts kick in. I swear on him.
Gibson claims Gregory's son, Brendan, was in the middle of the road pointing a gun at his delivery van. He says he heard five shots. His vehicle was struck. He wasn't injured.
You were there. You were sitting in that truck that's riddled with bullets.
So five shots at my van. Those pages were, like, almost directly behind me. So it's really just, like, kind of traumatizing.
You know, this was the mission. At least he ain't dead.
Both men out on bail and now facing felony charges. Requests from ABC News for comment from their attorneys have gone unanswered. Gibson's attorney calling this incident an Ahmaud Arbery copycat crime. Gibson, currently off the job, receiving therapy for the trauma, angry not just at the suspect, but police and his employer. He says the day after the shooting, FedEx sent him back to the same neighborhood. And while they offered to pay for his therapy, Gibson says they did not offer him paid leave until the incident became public. In a statement, FedEx says employee safety is a top priority and they remain focused on Gibson's well-being.
Listen to what community activist Jeremy Marquell Bridges had to say.
This is the case related to the Case family. They own Case Oil in town. The Case family has relatives that was the mayor. It's been constant corruption. They're protecting the Case family. 24-hour detail, 12 posted day and night, tennis demo man trying to work, make an honest living, not become a statistic, and then he can't even do that. That's just like Rihanna, we can't sleep, Maude Arbery, we can't job, and now we can't even go to work with the material gifts. The DA actually tried to break protocol and actually take the case. He told the material that we have to review the case first. But the material's lawyer is actually a judge and a lawyer. He knows that's not proper protocol. They've actually been denying Carlos Moore. They won't tell him any court date or anything to that nature. It's been pure evil, pure racism every step of the way. They haven't been transparent with him, his family. They haven't been helpful, and they've been actually treating him like a suspect. And as you see, treating the suspect like this.
It has brought a lot of stories out and a lot of killings in the Kimbrough case. You know, a lot of untold stories that mothers, parents, fathers, have been crying out for years to let Brookhaven know that they're not doing what they're supposed to do as a community. So we stand strong with the Montario because this is part of his wish to ensure that everyone else who has been denied justice through Brookhaven's system, that they get justice.
Hey, I'm Sherelle. I'm the commander of Jacksonville Black Panther Party. We had to step in to take the role of being security for D. Montario for the simple fact that the police were protecting the suspect, but not the victim.
Why do a suspect have a right to call the police, but the victim cannot? So they have tried to intimidate him, following him, different things like that. So we're having to step in by any means necessary to make sure that this brother is protected.
So I feel like it's like that with not only just them, but black people as well. You know, but the fact that my operator did die, this was like really prepared the case. And I feel like the fact that I'm still here is not for them. And it's not against his case, like I'm not saying that. I'm just like pointing out the fact that I'm not dead. I feel like people think it's smaller than what it really is. But I could have been dead, you know. I barely made out with my life. And it's going to continue to happen unless we come together and bring light to other cases.
No justice?
No peace!
Yep, no justice, no peace, y'all, and justice needs to be served in this case because that young man, the Montario Gibson, he could have been killed. I mean, you know, Ahmaud Arbery was chased down like an animal in Georgia by three racist men that are now in prison, okay, serving life sentences, and he was killed. He was killed in a modern-day lynching. And these men in Mississippi tried to do the same thing to D. Montario Gibson. But thank God that the bullets did not hit him. But five bullet holes in his van? I mean, that's crazy. And, you know, Mississippi wanted to look the other way, and they're not cooperating with D. Montario's attorney. But guess what? We're going to have D. Montario and the Black Panther Party down there in Mississippi, along with the activists that you heard on that footage. We're going to have them all on. And we're going to have them on either next week, or I think it's going to be the first Sunday in April. We're going to have them on and hear more about this case because this is outrageous that even after the three racist men were convicted and now they also been convicted of hate crimes down here in Georgia as well, that these men would try to do another hate crime. That was a hate crime. He was targeted because he was black, okay? And this is so ridiculous. It has to stop. It has to stop. All right, so right now we're going to go into Ngozi time, and then I'll be right back with my final thoughts.
What a show tonight. It sounds like old school Beverly Nation tonight because these are the topics that we talked about back in 2013. What has changed in a little more than 9 years since we've been here? Crazy stuff. You know, I'll never forget the time, man, where, you know, it was a guy that put a black child in a cage. I think Tony might remember this. Tony might remember this story. And don't think I'm laughing in the fraction of my voice because this is so stupid. It's just dumb. A white man stole a black child and rode the child down the highway in the pickup truck. You mean to tell me that y'all saw a black child in a truck riding down the highway, y'all black motorists are seeing this, and y'all don't do nothing? You don't try to pull that truck over and say, who, that ain't your kid. What are you doing with that child? This is 2013. We're talking about tonight. school districts and schools who are having a game, a demonic game called Sell the Negro. Let's sell the Negro. Chinchilla Jay said that one person was offered up at $325. And they said, don't worry, I know how to guide him. Maybe they could say, oh, I taught him how to go to the library. Oh, I got him to play volleyball. Then they get points. My man, look, I'm from California, man. You know, we from a different club. That ain't going on out there. I'm telling that right now. Now, you look at the racist states of Louisiana and Pennsylvania, the two worst penal institutional states in probably the world, okay? Louisiana, man, has a prison down there called Angora, and you don't want to go to Angora at all. You know what I mean? You on the chain gang. You know what I mean? You think that Sam Cooke, they brought Sam Cooke back to life, and he's singing, that's the sound of a man. You know the rest of the song. So it's like, yeah, you know, like, this is get chain gangs today. They get pleasure of having our kids, male and female, put down asphalt on a road so your car can drive on it more successfully. Willie Bartolini says it best. We have to make sure that we have our own military. But let me explain something about that as well. You got to be military-minded. You have to have a little discipline. You know, like, again, we don't have communities anymore. We have neighborhoods. And that's a sad situation. That's a sad, like Chinchilla said, it's a very, very sad. It is. It's very sad that we allow these things to happen. It's 2022. What country do we live in? We in Soweto? We almost going back to an apartheid state. If you allow your child to be disrespected in that way, like I said, to all the people that say no one's trying to help them, I say try harder. Try harder. Because there's different avenues. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. We got a person that comes on every week, outstanding person, criminal defense attorney Caroline Turner, who sounds like, you know, she's from England, okay? So imagine this. If you need to call the BBC or Al Jazeera, whoever you need to call to get this thing out there, there's no in the world, man, that this gentleman is suffering, you know, from the loss of his cousin. And the family is being targeted. You got to try harder. I know you say I did the best. No, you got to try harder because there's someone who's going to take that story. Call TMZ, definitely, for this situation going on down there in North Carolina. I just got an email from a person, and then we got to get off this air because I'm told you, you don't do no shows at midnight. But it's okay. I'm going to say what I got to say. From a man by the name of Vernon. Vernon told me, thank you so much. I live in Texas. We heard about something like this about 3 years ago, but wow, Chinchilla know how to find it. Tell her good luck to everything you're doing, Chinchilla. Now you done got Ola Deli upset. Well, yes, because she pushed my buttons tonight. Her fault, and it is what it is. And you know, Chinchilla, you know, she did it, and I love it because I love having my blood. Ball, you know, drama is good for the blood, y'all. And I'm telling you right now, we need to do a better job what we're doing on a constant basis of raising these children. We need to be ashamed of ourselves to allow anything like that happen. We need to be ashamed of ourselves, like, again, to allow Ray Ray and Shay Shay to get shot on your block and no one comes outside. No one wants to march for that. Every single day in Merc cities around the United States of America, a kid gets killed, and everybody goes in the house and eat and get their pinto beans and cornbread and ham hocks and call it a night. Let's do better, y'all. We're the laughing stock of the world, the so-called African-American, the so-called Black American, the so-called Negro. Everybody laugh. You know what? Just like in the movie Hoodlum, they laugh at you, whispers. They're laughing at you. We're the laughing stock of the world because we don't stand up and then we glorify Black death on wax, on record. We're the only race of people in the whole world that glorify death of our young. They're laughing at you, whispers. The laughing stock of the world. Yeah, I said it. Come on now on these WVN stations. We come back on a person with outstanding acumen. For news and journalism. Her name is the 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster nominee, Ms. Antonia Bassett, informational guru, at a special time tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, Eastern Daylight at WBNN. And Ghosty Time Multimedia has advertising. And you can always reach us, of course, at Twitter and Instagram at Ngozi Time, also Plenaris. We are at Facebook at Oladele Malay Ngozi. Now, any comments? Again, like I said, you want to reach me. I know you do. You love me. You love me. Stop acting like you don't love me after I chastise you. After I didn't have to use the baby powder on your buttock. Come on now. You know I just had to chastise you. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? oladele.ngozi@gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer on the Dudley Malay Ngozi, saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there on our Force Radio, support us on a constant basis. And now back to 2021. WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, which is the Sonya Griffin Award recipient. Congratulations to her, 47 for all time, second consecutive. Also, Deputy Commissioner of this network, Chinchilla Jack.
Okay. Thank you, Brother O. You had me cracking up. They laughing at you, Whippers. That was so funny. Oh, God. I was over here rolling. But thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight and listening to News Forum. And to all of the callers tonight telling their stories of injustice and corruption and racism, you know, it's just crazy stuff going on around this country. And guess what? It gets even crazier, y'all. So make sure you tune in next Sunday night right here on WBNN at 9:30 p.m. because it's going to be even crazier than tonight, okay? And, again, all of these cases and stories, they're real life. They're not made up. It's not a reality show. It's a real life show. Real life cases, real life events, real life injustice, real life racism, real life corruption, real life wrongful convictions. And again, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Right now, someone somewhere around this country is being brutalized. They're being laughed at. They're being scandalized. They're being chased down a street somewhere. Someone's being raped. Someone's being shot. Someone is right now in court somewhere around this country, around this world, because guess what? Courtrooms around this country in different states, they're open 24 hours. So someone's sitting right now in front of a computer looking at a judge on a screen giving them their sentencing. You know, so it's so crazy. This is really crazy, y'all. But if you want to reach me and find out how you can be a guest on News Forum, please give me a call Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. by dialing 844-642-8378, extension 888. And remember to always be a voice. If you want to donate to Be a Voice, Be a Voice Tour. That's BEAVOICETOUR Tour. And guess what? I think I'm going to end it with playing the Be a Voice snippet. So guess what, y'all? This is your girl, Chinchilla J. Remember to always be productive on purpose and to always be a voice. Money talks. So put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, Be a Voice Tour. That's $BEAVOICETOUR. Be a Voice Tour. Or donate via Venmo at Be a Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be a Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be a Voice today.